Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. It's a great privilege to stand before you. It's a great privilege to stand before you to preach the word of God. Please turn with me, book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Before that, I would like to thank Pastor Chris and DCC members and leaders who invited me to preach the word. And I would like to thank my local church, Cornerstone Community Church, who have sent me here to preach the word. And also I would like to thank Brother Pratapras House and Sister Hannah, who hosted me and opened their house to feed my stomach. Thank you so much for that. I left my home, I left my wife, two daughters, even my first daughter, elder daughter, she is missing me. She told, Daddy, I am missing you, in WhatsApp call. Even when I was in hostel for school studies, 6th to 10th, one of the troubles I faced in hostel days was my guardian, my warden, did not send us to home, even though we got 2-3 days holidays. But my roommates, mothers and fathers, their relatives, they come to hostel, they bring chicken curry and fish curry and other snacks. They are eating and enjoying. Then what will happen? My homesick will become more. So I want to go to my home. I want to see my mother and my father. So I used to call my mother. Do you remember phone box? We need to put 1 rupee coin. I used to do that. I call my mother. Mother, when will you come to me? When will you see me? I want to see you because other mothers are coming, fathers are coming. I need to wait for her. I am waiting for her. I used to ask that. When will you come? When she says that, I am coming to you. That night, the sleeps will run away from my eyes. So I am waiting eagerly. Even though class lesson is going on, I won't listen the lesson. I was looking at the window, through the window, when will my mother come? That is the situation, every child, right? Because there is a relation and love of child for his mother, for his father. In the same way, the church is waiting for Savior. And church should wait for Savior. He is the one whom we love and wait to see him. He is better than mommy and daddy. He is better than anyone else. We all are waiting for him because he is our Savior. Even Jesus said that he will come back to take us to be with him eternally. John Gospel chapter 14 verse 1 and 3 says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Verse 3 says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus himself said, I am coming. I am going to take you to be with me eternally. Brothers and sisters, today I want to remind you that the church of Christ, disciple of Christ, should wait for him. I want to encourage you to wait for him. I know some of us are eagerly waiting for World Cup final, right? We should wait eagerly more than that. Because he is better than World Cup final. He is better than mommy and daddy. He is better than your relatives. He is going to come to us. We should wait. That's what Paul is saying. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. Please look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 and 21. It says like this. I am reading from NASB. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Did you see that what Paul is saying? Paul was saying to the church in Philippi, we eagerly waiting for the Savior. The meaning of the word, the verb eagerly waiting in Greek is diligently, patiently waiting. Looking for diligently, patiently. It has the idea of waiting anxiously. So that is the meaning. Do you have anxiousness? Do you have a delight? Do you have eagerness to see your Savior? But Paul is saying that we are eagerly waiting. Christ himself is the content of expectation, no other one. Even Hebrews says, not only Paul says, Hebrews says, the author of Hebrews says that, chapter 9 verse 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. Jesus is coming to see us. Jesus is coming second time, those who eagerly await him. But here Paul explains how they were eagerly waiting. The idea is in Greek, habitually, repeatedly waiting for Savior without interruption. If there is any interruption, that is not eagerly waiting for him. What are the things that interrupts us? Interrupt you wait for him. Loving things that you own on the earth, you love so much, so you don't want to leave them. Living in sin and not repenting of those sins. When you are living in sin, when you are loving things in the world, you cannot wait for him. Those things will interrupt you. But here he explains why they were waiting continually without interruption for a Savior. Look at verse 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Why does Paul say these words to Philippians? It says, starting word, verse 24. This verse is connected to above verses. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. It says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of the Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on the earthly things. There are false teachers in the church. They are focusing. They are teaching work-based salvation. We need to focus on these things. But Paul is reminding them, see, Christ is the one who saved you. You need to wait for him. You should not look at on things on the earth. Some people who set their minds on the earthly things, you should not do that. But you need to do something else. That's what he said from verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's why we need to eagerly wait for him. Look at the Savior. Wait for him eagerly. Your work did not save you, but Christ Jesus. So they need to wait for him, definitely. So the theme of this passage is eagerly awaiting the Savior as citizens of heaven. Four characteristics of the Savior that motivate us to wait for him. The first characteristics of Savior that motivate us to wait for him is, he is a loving Savior. He is a loving Savior. Look at verse 20, which says that our citizenship is in heaven. Citizenship refers to the right to live in a nation. You have citizenship in India, right? You can prove that you are a citizen of India because you have Indian Aadhaar card. And you have your home in India. And your wealth and properties are in India. So what Paul is saying that you have your citizenship in heaven. If you understand what Paul is saying, you can understand Jesus is loving Savior. Two actions of Jesus that prove he is a loving Savior. The first action of Jesus that prove he is loving Savior is he made us citizens of heaven. He made us citizens of heaven. No one made himself as citizen of heaven. He himself made us citizens of heaven. It says, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. The literal translation of this phrase is in Greek. Our citizenship exists in heaven. Paul was saying to Philippians that they were not only citizens of Rome, but also heaven. Paul used the present tense, which means that all believers are citizens of heaven right now. Right now. Paul is saying that right now, at this present time, a believer's citizenship exists in heaven. He is not telling the future at this present time. The idea is that citizenship exists in heaven continually, an ongoing state. It continues eternally. You have citizenship in India. But once you die, your family members get death certificate, right? Which indicates that you don't have connection to this land. Then what will happen? All your money, they will close your bank account. All your money in your bank will be transferred to your family members' account. All your possessions belongs to someone else because you don't exist on this land. We have seen many times in Pune, so many apartments I can see. You can see owner's board name, right? Underground, the ground floor. Then you have your name. One day that name will be removed. Maybe your son name will come in that place. So everything is going off. Even though you have citizenship in India, you are going to lose. The citizenship in India is not permanent. It is not eternal, but what Paul is saying is here, citizenship in heaven is eternal. It is eternal. You never lose your citizenship in heaven. You have citizenship in heaven eternally. When Paul says that, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 to 6, even when we were dead in your transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even though we are sitting in this church hall, spiritually, we all are seated with God in heaven in Christ. The question that should come to your mind, how did I gain heavenly citizenship? You know that heaven is living place of God. How can we become citizens of heaven, which is living place of God? Who is God? Who is man? We need to understand. Let me tell you something about this. God is holy. We are sinful. God is righteous. We are unrighteous. God is just. We are unjust. God is truth. We are untruth. God is faithful. We are unfaithful. God is good. But we are wicked always in our thoughts and our actions. There is a lot of difference between man and God. Man cannot stand before God. How it is possible that holy God and unholy man living together in one place, that is heaven. But Paul is saying our citizenship is in heaven. You are living with God. You are going to be with God eternally. How it is possible? Answer is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Look at the word Savior in this verse. Because he is Savior. We believers have citizenship in heaven because Christ saved us. made us citizens of heaven. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, "For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." All believers are righteous before God because Christ gave his righteousness to us. He took their righteousness on the cross, paid the penalty for them. This is the imputed righteousness of Christ. He has taken our unrighteousness. He has given his righteousness to us. He made us righteous, even though we are sinful. You know how much terrible sinner you are. I know that, how much terrible sinner I am. But he gave his righteousness. He made us citizens of heaven. To make sinners citizens of heaven, God himself became man and died on the cross. We know that Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 to 8, it says, "Who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Did you see? To make you a citizen of heaven, Christ himself died on the cross. Because he loved you before the foundation of the earth, before time exists. That is the reason why he is loving Savior. He made you citizen of heaven. The holy God and sinful men and women live together because of Christ's saving work. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why we should wait for him. It should motivate us to wait for him. Even our Goan people spend a lot of money to get Portuguese passport, visa, to get Portuguese citizenship, like 6 lakhs, 7 lakhs. They want to get that citizenship. They are working hard, spending so much money. You know that some of us, are people like to go abroad and to have US citizenship, to have a London citizenship. People are seeking to get that, but that is not easy. They need to work hard. They need to spend so much money. But one thing I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you got citizenship in heaven freely, freely. But it is not free for Jesus. He died to make citizen of heaven. He died for you to make citizen of heaven. The second action of Jesus that proves he is a loving Savior is he gave us the privileges of heaven. The same was verse 20, which says our citizenship is in heaven. If you think about citizenship, we know that if you have citizenship in India, you will have some privileges in this country, right? Do you agree? You can have and buy properties, get schemes from government, use facilities of government hospitals. You can apply for government jobs. The same way the believers in Philippi had privileges of heaven because Christ gave that privilege when he made them citizen of heaven at their salvation. There was the reason why Paul used the word citizenship. History tells that people living in Philippi were not citizens of Rome, but Roman Empire. Octavius Augustus granted Philippians Italic rights. That is, he gave them the same privileges as if their land was in Italy. Knowing this fact, Paul wrote of an even greater citizenship for Christian in Philippi. Namely, their citizenship is in heaven. Paul was saying to them, "You are so happy because Emperor Augustus gave you the privileges of being Roman citizen. But you have greater citizenship. That is, you are a part of the heavenly country where God himself dwells. where Christ himself dwells. What a great privilege that God has given to us. The privileges of those who have their citizenship in heaven. Just I want to give you three things, three points. The first privilege of us as a citizen of heaven, he has written our name in heaven. Luke chapter 10 verse 20 says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." The second one, our home is in heaven. John Gospel chapter 14 verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." The third one, our inheritance is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We will judge the angels." Did you see? Christ has given us the privileges of heaven. Brothers and sisters, you should be thankful to your Savior. Every day of your life, think about that love of Jesus. He showed his love on the Calvary. Be joyful because of heavenly privileges. You belong to heavenly country. Whenever you are in time of difficulties, through your life, look at your position in Christ, what he has done. It will give you encouragement. If you know this truth, this is your response, right? To live is Christ, to die is gain. If you are a citizen of heaven, if you understood this truth, you should lead a lifestyle that pleases the heavenly King. You should behave like citizens of heaven on earth. How you behave in the family will change. How you behave in society, how you behave in your workplace will change because your citizenship is in heaven. Second characteristic of the Savior that motivates us to eagerly wait for him is, he is a sovereign Savior. He is not only loving Savior, he is sovereign Savior. Look at verse 20, which says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for Savior." Look at the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is describing who Jesus is. He is Lord. I don't want to skip that word. Paul is describing whom we are waiting. He is Lord. He is sovereign. Meaning of the word Lord, he is one who is in position of authority. He is master. He is sovereign. He is above all human beings. He is in a position of authority. Jesus is alone the Lord. Jesus is Yahweh based on this truth. He is Lord of all hosts, right? Christ is the Lord. He is the head of all authority and power. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "He is the head over all rule and authority." He has that authority. He is sovereign. Two proofs that he is sovereign Savior. The first proof that he is sovereign Savior is, he is Lord of the church. He is the Lord of the church. Look at verse 20 very carefully, which says, "From which also we eagerly wait for Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Here Paul is using "we." "We" means Paul himself, at the same time Philippians. "We eagerly waiting for Savior, the Lord." He is Lord of the church. That's what Paul is saying, that he is the Lord, he is sovereign. Paul himself, he confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to him, because he himself said, "We eagerly waiting for Savior, the Lord, the Lord." He is Lord of apostles. He is Lord of preachers and teachers. At the same time, he is Lord of the church. Even Paul says, Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, "For am I now seeking the favor of men, of God? Am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a born servant of Christ." The elders have authority to teach, guide the church, but Jesus is in control of everything. He is Lord of apostles, He is Lord of teachers. At the same time, He is Lord of every church member. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "He is also head of the body, the church." What I am saying is, you are waiting for a person. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He is not the ordinary person. He is sovereign Lord. The second proof of that He is sovereign Savior is, He is Lord of the heavenly hosts. Look at verse 20, which says, says like this, "From which also we eagerly wait for Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at the word "from which." Where is Jesus now? The answer is heaven. That's true. He is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Who is there in heaven? Heavenly host, right? The host of the heaven. He is Lord of all angels. Please, you can look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3 says, we know that angels were praising him. What they were praising him is, verse 3, "And one called out to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." They are praising him. "You are Lord to us. You are sovereign to us." Even angels are confessing that He is Lord of hosts. Look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. Even you can see immediately. Chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. It says, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on the earth, under the earth." Verse 11, "That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Based on this verse, Jesus is not only the Lord of preachers, Lord of church, Lord of angels, He is Lord of all human beings. He is Lord of even Satan, right? Did you see that verse? Everyone should confess that Jesus is Lord. When you are sharing the gospel to your neighbors, unbelievers, you say that, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." "No, I don't want to accept Him. I don't want to believe in Him. I won't think He is God. I won't think He is Lord." Did you hear those responses from your friends? But one day they are going to accept He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of everyone. You know that, right? That was Acts chapter 10, right? He is Lord of all. Revelation chapter 19 verse 16 says, "On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He is Lord of Lords. But have you seen a picture of Jesus on the wall, somewhere else on the wall? In that picture, He looks like a weak and old man who needs some help, right? He looks like He needs some help. Did you see that picture? Some people, nominal Christians, they keep Jesus' photo in their homes. And Roman Catholic Church, they keep Jesus' photo. Always they look at Jesus as a weak Jesus. Somehow He needs help from us. So that is not true. We know that He is loving Savior, but don't forget He is sovereign. He is the Lord. He is coming back. That's why we need to eagerly wait for Him. That's why we need to wait for Him. I know that Pastor Chris, anyway, he is not here. I can tell about him. He used to give so many books. It's like he gives 10 books, 12 books, finish in this week. How can we finish? We used to do that. We need to work hard. No sleep for us when He comes. Whatever He says, we need to obey Him. Because He is master for us. He is president of pastoral training seminary. So he is master for us. At the same time, we love him. We love him. Whatever he says to us, whatever strictness, whatever commands he gives to us, because he loves us. Because he wants us to know Christ. He wants us to work hard for the kingdom of God. Why I am saying this, even though he is master, once I invited him and Auntie Veena, they both have come to my house. Before that, we are just cooking things. We are thinking about that. Our teacher is coming, what to cook. We make this curry, that curry, what we have to prepare. So we need to keep a house very neatly. My wife keeps out house very neatly, but he is coming. He is our teacher, right? He sees each and every details. You know better than me. So we are waiting for him. He is master, he is teacher. At the same time, we have love for him. We prepared meal for him. Then we are waiting for him. When he will come? Just I am coming at the door and looking where he is. When will car, Pastor Sammy car will come? Why I am saying this? You can say that if he is sovereign, I need to run away from him, right? If Christ is sovereign, I need to run away from him. How can I wait for him if he is sovereign, if he is Lord? The answer is which I have given to you. Even though he is Lord, he loves us. He is loving Savior, he is the Lord, so we eagerly wait for him. We cannot run away from him. We will run to him because he is the Lord, at the same time he is loving Savior. So that's the reason why you should wait. Somebody is coming to meet you, that is Sovereign Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't wait for him. You need to wait for him. That's what Paul is saying. We are eagerly waiting for him because he is Sovereign Savior. The third characteristic of the Savior that motivates us to eagerly wait for him is, he is a glorious Savior. Look at verse 21, which says, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory? Paul is saying that the Savior will transform believers in the future. This will take place, come to pass. This will happen definitely one day. The transformation comes to pass one day when he comes. So we need to wait for him. Paul is saying that Jesus will transform the humble body into Jesus' excellent, glorious body. The body of his glory. The body refers to a unique body. No one has this kind of body. That is the idea in the Greek. He has excellent, glorious body. The Savior will transform into the excellent, glorious body. Our body totally will be changed like his glorious body. That is the great truth. He is coming to do that. That's why we need to wait for him. That's why we need to wait for him. This shows that he is a glorious Savior who gives his glorious body, likeness of his body, glorious body, he is going to give us. But look at the words of Paul. He explains that what kind of body we have before Christ changes into conformity with the body of his glory. Look at this word. The body of our humble state. A humble state refers to not humility, but a veiled body. Our lowly body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 42 to 44 to understand what it means to be veiled and lowly body. Verse 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. It says, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown a perishable body. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in weakness. It is sown in a natural body, verse 44. Did you see that? He's explaining what kind of body we have right now. Our body is perishable because it is going to perish after death and faces many sicknesses, right? Even though a Bollywood hero and handsome man or a beautiful woman, if that person is dying, that body will be decayed, right? It is going to perish. That's what Paul is saying. Our body is dishonored because of the sins of this body. Did you respect any thief if coming to you? Did you respect? No, this is thief. Did you respect sinful people, wicked people? No, you won't respect. You dishonor him. We are getting dishonor because of our sins. That kind of body we have right now. Our body is weak. This body has a lot of temptations, right? Our body is natural, but not supernatural. These are the reasons why Paul is describing our body as humble state. A veil body, lowly body we have. But listen, brothers and sisters, Christ will change our body into conformity with the body of his glory. He is coming to do that. Into conformity with the body of his glory means into the likeness of his glorious body. Likeness of his glorious body. What glorious body that Jesus has. We need to understand that same body that he gives to us. Even 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." Right? But how he is going to change? We can look at same 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 42 to 44. We can see he will change your perishable body into an imperishable body. The result is no sickness, no death. So many of us, we are praying for BP and sugar and body pains, cancer, so many sickness, right? He is going to take away everything when he comes back. See, I am not preaching prosperity gospel. I am not guaranteeing, I am not saying that Christ will do definitely here, right now. I am saying that when he comes, he will do that. Every sickness will go away. You cannot face death. Because he is going to give imperishable body. Imperishable body. Praise God for that. All senior citizens. Because you have a lot of problems. He is going to take away that. When he comes back. It should motivate you to wait for him. Lord, please come. Lord, please come. Because you are going to change everything when he comes. But don't expect now. You heal right now everything. He won't heal. I am not guaranteeing you. That is true. When he comes, he is going to do that. What kind of body he is going to do? He will change your dishonorable body into a glorious body. Everybody will honor you. Because you are not doing any sin. Believers never sin so that they might be ashamed of anyone. There will be no sin. So there will be no shame, no dishonor. He will change your weak body into a powerful body. The result is they will not have any temptation. Now we are facing temptations because of this body, right? When he comes, he is going to give a body, the powerful body, you cannot be tempted. You cannot be tempted. Then he is going to change your natural body into a spiritual body. What a great thing he is going to give for us. Actually, I want to be with my wife. I cannot go there. I will stay here only. Because I don't have a supernatural body. I have a natural body. But Christ is going to give a supernatural body. Spiritual body he is going to give. Do you remember, brothers and sisters? Jesus came and stood among disciples after his resurrection. Did you see? Did anybody open the door? Lord Jesus, you come. He came through the wall. He is going to give that kind of body to us. I don't know how it is. But he is going to give us. That is true from the scripture. These all things will help us to wait for him. To wait for him. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. It says, he will wipe away every tears from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be mourning and crying, pain. The first things have passed away. This is the summary of what we are learning here. brothers and sisters, you are trying to live holy life, but you are sometimes, you are missing the mark because you have weak body, which helps you to be tempted. But Jesus is going to give you victory. You can overcome all your sins in heaven when He comes. Do you have a desire to live holy life? That is going to happen perfectly when He comes back. If He is going to do that, why don't you wait for Him? That is the motivation that Paul is giving us. The Holy Spirit is helping us to think about. The fourth characteristic of the Savior that motivates us to eagerly wait for Him is He is a powerful Savior. Can you repeat with me? He is a loving Savior. He is sovereign Savior. He is glorious Savior. Finally, He is powerful Savior. Look at verse 21, which says, by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. The literal translation of this verse 21, it is like this. He will transform those humble bodies of ours into likeness of His glorious body by means of that power. The idea is the means of our transformation of our humble body into likeness of His glorious body is His power. His power is the means to transform us. He is powerful Savior. He is able to do that. That's why we need to wait for Him. Through His power, He is able to transform our veil body. All I have explained to you what kind of body we have, He is going to change into a glorious bodies. He will change millions of perishable bodies, dishonorable bodies, into imperishable and honorable body. He is going to change weak and natural bodies into powerful and supernatural bodies. If a doctor replaces a kidney, for example, if a doctor repairs the heart through operation, we will say, what a great and skillful doctor he is. We praise the doctor's ability, right? He's changing, he's repairing things. He's going to die, that man. He did operation. He's alive. We praise doctor's ability. That's right. That's true. What kind of ability and power that Jesus has to transform millions of bodies of believers. What a great power He has. He is going to change our humble body into glorious body. Exactly, He is going to give His kind of body to us. He has that power. He has that ability. That's why we need to wait for Him. This is not a normal power. Look at verse 21. It says, by the exertion of the body that He has even to subject all things to Himself. He has power. By that He is able to subject all things, not one thing, all things to Himself. Look at the verb to subject. It is either verb to subject, which means to cause to be in a submissive relationship, to subordinate, bring someone or something to subjection, to place under. He has the power by which He is able to make all things to place under Him. He is able to bring all things, creation, to subjection. His power causes, brothers and sisters, to bring all things to subjection, to place under. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27 says, great verse we have, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27, it says, for He has put all things in subjection under His feet. Did you see that? Everybody is under Jesus. He is able to make everybody to place under His feet. He is above all. He has that much power. He has even to subject all things to Himself, not only creation, angels, even devils, church, and also government. What a powerful Savior we have in Jesus. That person is coming to take you. That person is coming to take you to be with him eternally. Why don't you wait? If that powerful Savior is coming for you. Don't think that Jesus is weak. Jesus. If you doubt, will I get the glorious body like his glorious body? This will help you. This sermon should help you to have confidence in him. He is able. He is powerful. Even in your present time. Even in your future life. Whatever weakness in your life, brothers and sisters, if your Savior is powerful Savior, why don't you wait for him? We must eagerly awaiting the Savior as citizens of heaven. Four characteristics of the Savior that motivate us to wait for him eagerly. First one, he is a loving Savior. He is a sovereign Savior. He is a glorious Savior. Finally, he is a powerful Savior. There was one youth meeting for educated youth in Andhra Pradesh. One preacher was preaching the gospel. One young boy who was shepherding the cows. The cows were eating the grass. He was listening to the gospel. He was saved through that gospel. After that, he wrote one song. When I was reading that song, I can understand, I can sense he is eagerly waiting for his Savior. Because he understood what kind of Savior he is. Listen, that song is like this. I want to read for you. He says like this. It is enough for me if I see my beloved Jesus. It is enough for me if I have Jesus with me in glory. It is enough for me if I worship my Jesus in heavenly home with my beloved people of God. Oh, when will I listen to the trumpet sound? Oh, when will my desire be fulfilled? My heart is waiting for this with great desire. Do you have this kind of desire? Please wait for him. Please eagerly wait for him. If you understood who he is from the scripture. God may give us this kind of heart. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. What a great Savior you are. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins and making us citizens of heaven. Lord, we are nothing. We are sinners. But you have sent your Son to save us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your work. Thank you for sacrificing your life to give eternal life to us. Lord, what a great God you are. Lord, help us to wait for you. Lord, you are better than anyone else on the earth. Lord, give us that heart. Help each and every one of us to wait for you eagerly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand with me for benediction. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21 says, Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, who he is? He is loving Savior, as we heard. He is sovereign Savior and glorious Savior, a powerful Savior, who will equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. All people say, Amen.